your grace, and we thank you for all who've gathered here on this Sunday morning. And now, Lord, we've come for no purpose but to lift up and worship your holy name. And so we ask that you just allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst. And then, Lord, grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. Again, we want to thank God just for allowing us to be here. We didn't have to be here, but by his grace and mercy, he allowed us to still be here. A portion of health and strength and in our right mind. This, those who have been following us in our Bible study, we started a series on prayer, talking about prayer. And if we ever need to pray, it's right now. So we are fighting against an invisible enemy. You can't see him, you can't taste him, you can't smell him, but he's out there. And he's killing all around, and he doesn't discriminate. No matter how holy you think you are or who you think you are, it doesn't discriminate. Let's pray for those who, Lord, have been affected. And we pray that the Lord will cover all of us who haven't. Shield us from all harm and danger. In the gospel according to Luke, chapter number 11. And come from verse number 1 through 10, but I'm only going to read 9 and 10, where we will focus our attention on. There's nothing new, you heard it once before, but the Lord directed me to say it again. Reading in verse number 9, it says, Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." For a few minutes, I want to talk from a familiar subject. God still answers prayer. Amen. God still answers prayer. And so let me begin by saying that there's a song entitled, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Lyrics of that song say, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." And it say, "What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer." And then it goes on to say, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." My brothers and sisters, here we see even in the song the importance of prayer. As someone once said, no prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. But what is prayer? Prayer, my brothers and sisters, is simply talking to God. Meaning prayer is not meditation or some passive reflection, but prayer is a direct address to God. It is the communication of the human soul with the God who created the soul. Now, prayer can be audible, it can be silent, it can be private or public, even can be formal or informal, but all prayers must be according to James 1:6, offered in faith. And in the name of Jesus, according to John 16:23, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8:26. But having said all of this, still many times after praying a long time without receiving an answer, it can cause some of us to become discouraged through weakness of faith and begin to feel that God just isn't going to answer our prayer because it's taking too long. But my brothers and sisters, Jesus in Luke 18:1 gives us the divine ought. He said men ought always pray and not faint or never give up. Why is this? Because according to God's word, as recorded in both the Old and the New Testament, God heard and answered prayer under the Old Covenant, and he's still hearing and he's still answering under the New. And guess what? If you just are praying right now, he's hearing and he's answering our prayers right now. But having said that, I need to tell us that many things under the Old Covenant have changed under the New. For instance, under the Old Covenant, in order to atone for sin, the priests had to offer at the sacrificial altar the blood of bulls and heifers and sheep and doves and the like. Once a year, every day, and once a year on the Day of Atonement for a national cleansing to atone for the sins of the people as well as the priest. But under the New Covenant, Christ, who knew no sin, became our sacrifice and high priest when he shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world once and forever, and then he took a seat. Under the Old Covenant, in order to become identified as a member of the family of God, one had to be circumcised. But under the New Covenant, all one needs to do is receive Jesus by faith as Savior and Lord of your life, and you will instantaneously become a part of the family of God. Under the Old Covenant, the law said, according to Matthew 5:43, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But under the New, Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. But my brothers and sisters, the one thing that hasn't changed, whether under the Old or under the New, and that is God still answers prayer. And so as we make our way to the text, we note in the context of our text in verse 1-4, it revealed that after Jesus had finished praying in a certain place, when he had finished, one of the disciples who had a hunger for the same strength that Jesus had asked, said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And so in his reply in verses 2-4, Jesus teaches them the model prayer, also known as the Lord's Prayer. And we note that Jesus said to them, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and so forth and so on. But it's just before our immediate text that he showed them and us this morning our part in prayer. And verses 5-8, when he tells the story of a friend at midnight. He says, suppose your friend's house in the middle of the night and say, let me borrow a few loaves of bread, because a friend of mine has dropped in and I don't have a thing for him to eat. And suppose your friend answers, said, now look, don't bother me. Don't you know it's late at night and the doors are bolted and my children and I are in the bed? I can't get up and give you without waking everybody in the house up. But because the man continued to knock, continued to ask, Jesus said he may not get up and give him bread because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he loaves as he needs. Now that says to us that we must be persistent in prayer if we are to receive an answer to our prayer. And that's why the Bible again says men ought always pray and faint not. And so here Jesus is using the illustration of persistence in that story to convey to us the true meaning of our immediate text in verse 9 and 10 that says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. My brothers and sisters, here we have the key to receiving an answer to our prayer. Because notice you will that these three verbs here, ask, seek, and knock, in the original Greek text, they are in the present imperative mood, meaning they are a command, and they are in the present tense, which suggests a continuous action. In other words, what the text is saying to us today or this morning is that we're not to just pray for a little while and give up because we didn't receive an answer right away, but we are to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking until we receive our answer, our breakthrough. Because I tell you, God still answers prayer. But now I know somebody may be thinking, well, preacher, that sounds good, but I've been praying for a long time and nothing has happened yet. Perhaps somebody prayed for their mother, father, sister, brother, loved one, a friend to be healed, but they died anyway. Or perhaps you've been praying for a spouse, your child, loved one, a friend to be saved, but nothing has happened yet. They're still lost. And so you may be wondering, why is it that I'm standing on the promises of the Word of God, but still my prayers are not being answered? Well, my brothers and sisters, first of all, some prayers are not answered because they're not being asked in faith. Meaning if you don't believe you will receive what you're praying about, you can't expect to get an answer to your prayer. But on the other hand, every sincere prayer of faith that's prayed, I tell you, God hears and he answers. Now, the reason I say this is because of the fact that there are prayers even prayed in faith, that God being sovereign, because it's not his will for your life or for whatever you're praying for, he reserved the right to say no. For instance, I believe Apostle Paul, you remember Apostle Paul, who had gone up to the third heaven, and he saw some stuff that no other human had ever seen. And so to keep old Paul from sort of getting beside himself, as we say, getting the big head, God allowed, he said, was stricken him with an ailment in his body. He called a thorn in my flesh. And Paul said, I prayed to the Lord three times to remove this throne. But the Lord answer to Paul's prayer was no. Because God told Paul that his grace was sufficient for him. For my strength is made perfect in human weakness. And so just because his answer to our prayer is no, we can't say that he didn't answer. It's just that he didn't give you the answer that you wanted. For instance, if you ask me for something and I say no, you can't say I didn't answer your request. It's just that I didn't give you the answer you wanted to hear. And so in the same way, we must understand that God, being sovereign, also has the right to say no. But let me say to us that God doesn't just say no to us just to say no. Because many times he says to no because it's not for our good. For instance, on every prescribed medicine bottle, there is an inscription on that bottle saying, keep out the reach of my children. Now, this is put on the bottle for the safety of the children's well-being. Because if a child got hold to the medicine, it would do the child more harm than it would do good. And so in the same way, many times our request to God in prayer could be to our detriment. But God, who sees all and knows all, he says, I got to keep this out of the reach of my children. Meaning some of the things we pray for may cause our downfall, our heartbreak, or even our death. But now we may not be able to see the danger in some of the things we ask God for in our prayer. But I tell you what, God can, because he sees and he knows everything. The bottom line, though, is God still answers prayer. It's just that sometimes he said no. But now you can't stop praying and give up because his answer may not be no. It could be wait. And so sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayer right away, it may not be no. He could be just telling you to wait. Now, I don't know about if you realize it or not, but life is full of waits. For instance, when I go to the doctor or the doctor's appointment, even if I arrive there early, maybe an hour before my appointment, I don't just walk right up in there and walk on into the doctor's office. I have to wait. But now this doesn't mean that the doctor isn't going to see me because he doesn't see me right away. It's just that I have to wait. But not only that, when driving your car and you come to a red light or a stop sign, it means you got to stop and wait until the traffic clears or wait until the light turns green before you can continue on your journey. Because if you run the red light or the stop sign, you could be hurt or you could hurt somebody or even worse, be killed or kill somebody else. And so, my brothers and sisters, life is full of waits. But not only is that the system of the world, but it's also part of God's system. Why is this? Well, the thing is, if God would give us everything we wanted when we wanted, we would get beside ourselves also. And so to keep you and me from getting the big head, so to speak, sometimes God has to say to us, wait. In other words, he has to prepare us for certain blessings. But you know, I found out that throughout the Bible, in both the Old and New Testament, the word wait appears. In the book of Isaiah 40:31, we read, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They'll run and not get weary, and they'll walk and not faint. And then after the resurrection, Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24:49, go back to Jerusalem and wait until you have been endued with power from on high. And so here we see that waiting is the end thing. In other words, God say he would give his disciples power, but he didn't say when. And so they had to go back to Jerusalem and wait. But even now, a lot of things folk have been praying for over the years is just coming to pass. Because God's answer to them and their prayer was wait. Even some of the things that our parents and foreparents prayed for a long time ago, they're dead and gone, but it's just coming to pass. How many times when we were running wild and running crazy in the street, and you don't know it, but your mother and your father was praying that you would come to yourself. And they may be gone on to be with the Lord, but somewhere along the line, that prayer was answered. They didn't get a chance to see you with their natural eye. But that prayer was answered. They had the faith in the promise of God, even though they couldn't see it. They were like the old patriarchs in Hebrews 11:13 that said, these all died in faith. Not having received the promise, but having seen them by faith afar off, because we're assured of them, or because of the fact that God still answers prayer. But sometimes he say no, but other times he just say wait, which lets us see why we should never give up on prayer, but we should continue to ask, seek, and knock, until our breakthrough comes. Because God may not come when you think he ought to come, but I stop by to tell you, whenever he shows up, he's always right on time. But sometimes God has a last minute way of answering prayer. For instance, when the children of Israel were seemingly trapped by the Red Sea,
with wilderness on either side. The Egyptian army closing in fast from behind, and the Red Sea seemingly blocking their way of escape. Now, God could have had those waters roll back when they got there, but he waited until they could hear the rumbling of the wheels of Pharaoh's chariots. He waited until they could perhaps see the glittering of the Egyptian swords. I tell you, he waited until their hearts were gripped with fear. And almost at the last moment, God showed up right on time. And he just rolled back those waters when he grabbed an east wind and made the east wind do the work of a brick mason by causing the water to stand up and congeal on either side. And then he called that same east wind to fan the bottom dry so his children could walk across on dry land. And after they made their way to safety to the other side, he called that same water to come back together and drown the whole army of Egypt. And he led his people with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I tell y'all, God still answers prayer. It's just that sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait, and sometimes he has a last-minute way of answering our prayers. But my brothers and sisters, perhaps somebody here this morning that maybe, or else somebody may be watching on Facebook Live, you may have been there, meaning there were times in your life when you didn't know which way to turn. And you've been fasting and begging God to come to your aid. And just when you thought you were going to be swallowed up by your trouble, God showed up right on time and gave you your breakthrough. Because even when his answer is wait, I tell you, sometimes he just had a last minute way of answering our prayer. Perhaps somebody is saying here today, I'm telling you to hold on if you're praying and asking God for something. I'm telling you, don't give up, but just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Even though your situation may seem hopeless, just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Many times, I tell you, you just got to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking until your breakthrough comes. You know, I hear some folk talking about, you ain't got to keep worrying, God, just ask it one time. Well, that's up to you, but the Bible says keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking until your breakthrough come. For instance, God didn't do anything for the three Hebrew boys on their way to the fire furnace. But guess what he did? He waited until they were thrown into the furnace, and then God insulated them in the fire furnace so that the fire could do them no harm. Well, perhaps somebody here today may already be in the fiery trials of life, but the good news is you're not in there all by yourself. Because that fourth man that was there in the fiery furnace with the Hebrew boys, he's right there by your side. He's right there ready to help you through your troubles and your trials. Because God, I tell you, he still answers prayer. But before I close, I need to say to us today that even though sometimes God's answer to our prayer is no, sometimes he said, well, wait, but I thank God this morning that many times he says yes, because God knows that some things can happen in the lives of his children that demands his immediate attention, meaning he can also be a right now God, because God sometimes when we call on him in prayer. And he sees it and know that you need him right now. And so he doesn't tell us no. He doesn't tell us to wait. But he moves in right on time and says yes. For instance, yes, Lord, when Peter asked the Lord, Lord, let me walk on the water like you are doing. And Jesus said, all right, Peter, come on out there. Step on out the boat. And Peter did something that no other human being had ever done. Oh, he began to walk on the water. But then Peter made a mistake. He took his eyes off the Lord. And all of a sudden, he began to sink. And when he began to sink, Peter cried out to the Lord. But he didn't have no long, drawn-out prayer. All he said was, Lord, save me. And Jesus didn't tell him no, nor did he say wait. His answer was yes. And the Lord reached down and pulled Peter and saved him from drowning. Now, I'm a witness to all three. Yeah, because many times when the storms of life were raging in my own life, I found myself crying, Lord, please, sir, have mercy. At other times when waiting on the Lord, like that old hymn, I find myself saying, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whither shall I go? So help, Lord, I need you right now. And you know what? He just stepped in and he delivered me right then. But still, sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says wait. But many times he says yes. But you know, I thank God today that whenever a lost sinner calls on the Lord in faith to save their soul, God's answer is always yes. And you know what? That's about the only time I agree with the songwriter who says, I know Jesus will never say no. Because the only time that Jesus will never say no is to a repentant sinner. To be saved, to have his soul saved. Because whenever there's a prayer of faith to be saved, I tell you, God's answer is always yes. But lest I hold you too long, again I say, God, he still answers prayer. It's just that sometimes he said no, and sometimes he said wait, but many times he says yes.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Every 10 years, the federal government conducts a population count of everyone in the U.S. Data from these counts help to inform the parameters of how the government will distribute more than $675 billion to communities annually. This includes you and everyone in your community. This affects funding for schools and other educational institutions, transportation, housing, healthcare, and employment. You can complete your 2020 census online, over the phone, or by mail. Visit www.census2020.gov.
Dr. Paul Matthews, specializing in the treatment of neck and back pain, using only natural healing methods, no opioids or surgeries. So if you're suffering from low back pain or whiplash, burning sensations, or muscle spasms from an accident or injury, you need Dr. Paul now at the Wooddale Chiropractic Clinic, 711 Bolton Avenue in Alexandria. Open from 9 a.m. to 12 noon and 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 318-625-7103. It's Dr. Paul, y'all.